So we'll open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to read about the end time condition. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I would spew thee out of my mouth. Now, Brother Bram said, I would rather be, if I'm not for this message, I'd rather be against it. He said, but to be lukewarm, he said, God's going to spew you out. So at least you take a stand one way or the other. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, doesn't mean you are, but because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy any gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I am overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So this is the Holy Spirit speaking to the end time church. This is the church that, you know, the church age that we're living in now. The bride is actually living in a bride age. So this is actually to the church, and this is to every person on earth. There's 7 billion people. This is to them. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we see the condition of the end time people, that they actually think that they have need of nothing, yet they are blind and they're naked. And it's one thing to be blind and naked, Lord, or to be naked, but yet to be blind, it shows that their condition that they're in is that they just don't even have a clue what their condition is. And we see that the entire population that makes up the last church age of this hour, the Laodicean church age, so that we might apply the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Logos, which is your holy word, and anoint our eyes that we might see. For we ask, Father, that you would help us to do this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. For you said that we worship you in spirit and truth. And so, Father, we just ask you that you would help us, Lord, that we would not only worship you in spirit, but we would have the most important part of that, and that is truth. Because if we don't have truth, we have nothing. So, Father, we just commit your word back to us, and we commit it back to you, Father, but we ask that you would bring it upon us. For you said that your word would not bring forth null, but it would actually do that which you called it to do. And so, Father, we just plant that word into our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, notice that this entire church age is to be blind. That's a pretty bad condition, but to be naked on top of that. And yet it says, because they have all kinds of wealth, like no other age, that they think they have need of nothing. Yet they really are not aware of their naked and destitute condition because of their blind condition. Now, this morning, we're going to examine this blind condition as we pick up at paragraph 107 of Brother Brown's sermon, The Unveiling of God, and we begin reading for our text. 107, he says, there was someone going to call me Sunday here not long ago, wanted to debate with me about the church age, that God was in his holy church, and things like that. And I found out it was some woman preacher, and I just forgot about it, see? If it had been a man, some man that was going to be all right, but it'd be different. But what's the use in going plumb over into another country when I got to leave meetings here to do it? You see, so I just let them alone. The blind leads the blind. They all fall in the ditch. So Brother Branham would say, look, people want to debate. Just let them alone. Let them alone. You know, that's good advice. In fact, not only is it good advice for us, but Jesus also gave us the same advice. In Matthew 15:12, he says, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? See, Jesus had said something, the Pharisees got offended. Okay? Now, he knew that they were offended. But yet the disciples said, don't you know that they were offended after they heard the saying? But he answered unto them, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They'd be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Let them alone. Let them alone. Let them alone. And I think that's the best advice that we can have. Because when you get to fussing with people, you get that spirit on you. And then pretty soon you're walking around with a contention all the time. You're always contentious about something. Just let it alone. You know, when people are blind, it's useless to try to persuade them of their blind condition, because no matter what you tell them, they're blind. And they cannot see. So just pray for them that God will somehow find grace and mercy for them. But it's no use to try to persuade a blind man, because he can't see what you're trying to point out. So what's the use of trying? It just frustrates you, it frustrates them. Can you imagine someone who's blind, and you say, God, don't you see it? I can't see. Don't you see it? I can't see. But I want you to see it. But I can't see. You've got to be almost mental yourself to try to argue and fuss to get a blind person to see something that they can't see because they're blind. That's Laodicea. That's Laodicea. You end up just fussing with them. And when that happens, what good has it done? And what have you proved by it? I think the wise thing to do is just let them go. If they're happy, then let them have their happiness. It's like I've always said, the people who know the least, like the Down syndrome children, they are the happiest people, so just let them be happy. You can't change your estate by pointing out to them their condition. So just let them be. You can't make the sinner a saint unless the Holy Spirit is working on that poor soul. So just back off and pray for them and let them be happy in their ignorance. Fussing gets you nowhere. Let me get a little bit of an echo here. Now in the next paragraph, Brother Brown continues with this thought on the blind leading the blind, and he shows us that tradition is based upon what is in the past. And tradition then actually becomes the blindfold, preventing you from seeing what is present. It's a beautiful statement what he's saying. Now in this age, where the old denomination traditional veil has been rent from the Word of God so it can be manifested, you see what I mean? The tradition says all things are past. Again, the tradition says all things are past. Let it soak in a little bit, he says. The things are past. But in the last days, that traditional veil has been rent apart. Here stands the pillar of fire, present tense. Notice he's speaking present tense. See, here he is manifesting the word for this day. Again, he's speaking present tense. The veil is rent. Again, he's speaking present tense. Now the world still, they don't believe it. No matter what they don't see it. It wasn't sent to them.
Amen.
Notice he's still speaking present tense, but he tells us the world does not see it. They are blind to what is going on right now. You can't help them. Only God can. Now remember, the Son of God was not revealed to Sodom. Two messengers was, and that's right, but this God himself in human flesh was revealed to Abraham, the elected. And watch what he done to reveal himself. And now Abraham knew, when he knew what was in Sarah's thoughts behind him, he said, he called him Elohim, see, thy servant. Then in this next paragraph, Brother Brown begins to tell us the importance of the present tense, because it is a continuous unfolding of revelation from sermon to sermon, from tape to tape. And that is how God deals with his people. That's why we take our sermons from Brother Branham's, and we take them one thought at a time, and it's revelatory, it's an opening, it's an unfailing, it's an unfolding itself. It just doesn't boom and you got it. It's piece by piece, and Brother Branham says tape by tape. Now notice what he says here, because it's a progressive unveiling, a progressive revealing by manifestation of divine truth. Notice now, paragraph 109. So it can be manifested. The words had a veil over it all these years to the people. It can't be done. You see, you remember the sermon I preached the morning when I left here the first time about Goliath and David. I said, now look at the challenger out there saying that the days of miracles have passed. Watch them tapes as they come down. Watch each one, how it comes in more plainer and plainer. If you have ears to hear, eyes to see, watch. I said, there stands that great ecclesiastical world out there saying the scientific age, that it cannot be done. But I said, God in that light. See? For it was ever taken but once, never was taken down in the river there. They never took the picture of it then. See? I said, he told me that it would be done. He would make a call and it'd sweep the nation. And even to Dr. Davis said, you with a grammar school education passed into seventh grade will be praying for kings and monarchs and we'll start a revival that sweeps the nations. I said, that's what he said. And it's been done. See, sure, it's been done. That's the thing of it is. He don't need no interpretation. He's done it. See, he's already done it. That's interpretation itself. See, calling his elected. See, from all walks of life. Now it's made manifest. Now it's made manifest. See? Well, that's the same when they went to Peruzzi. People said, oh, it's a false doctrine. But Jesus spoke it, Paul spoke it, Peter spoke it, James spoke it, John spoke it. They all said it would come. And it has come because he's come down with a shout. Now, how can you call something that was prophesied to come? And you see there was 84 attributes and characteristics, signs and events that were to take place at the Peruzzi of Christ. And 79 of those 84 things have taken place, and then you say, what's false doctrine? What's false about it? What is false about it? Well, use the Greek word. Well, Jesus did too. Paul did too. James did too. Peter did too. So are they false? Because they spoke in the language, their Aramaic, their language. Brother Brown said, you know, they need more than their bodies baptized, they need their brains baptized. Now the fact of the matter is that there is a light that bears witness, and then there is the light. And we find that John was said to be a bright and shining light, but he was not the light. And if you're not ordained to it, you can be blinded by that light. People were blinded by John. Except for two. Two of them followed Jesus, the one he pointed to. The rest stayed right there with John. And you know what? They lost out to Messiah, to the Christ, to the anointing of God for that hour. John 5:31-38, if I bear witness, this is John speaking, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Excuse me, that's Jesus speaking. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. Now he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness, a greater light than that of John, for the works, the anointing, the Logos, which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, the same vindication that I do, that bears witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Now the thing I want you to notice is that there has to be a light that bears witness to the light. The moon bears witness that there's a sun on the other side, and it's only reflecting the light of that sun. And if John was a light that was to bear witness to the light, then if the Alpha has to become Omega, then we must see how God did the same thing in this hour, because otherwise you just have no clue what's going on. John 1, verse 1-34. It's a long verse, but a long chapter, we're going to read it. In the beginning was the Word, okay, and the Word was with God because the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. You see, in this Word, in him, the Word, the Logos, the anointing, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now notice that darkness cannot comprehend. Why? Because they're blind. You see? Notice that we read John 1 and 5, that this light shineth in dark places. And in Zechariah we read that this hour is ordained to be dark as well. Zechariah 14 and 6, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass at the evening time it shall be light. Again, we see in 2 Peter 1 and 19 that this light would shine in dark places until the day star would take over. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, he says, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Also we see in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 to 7, we see that the light is to shine, but those who do not see this light have been blinded by the god of this evil age, which is Satan. And in verse 7, we see that this light is an earthen vessel, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I don't know how people can sit under the message for 20, 30, 40 years, in some cases 50 that I know of, and then walk away and say, wow, he's a false prophet. He just got too many things wrong, blah, blah, blah. In other words, what they're saying is, I've examined this light. I've gotten so close, I've examined this light, and I see flaws. No, what you see is spots. You look straight at the sun, you're going to see nothing but spots. I'm sorry. And it's not the spots. Look, the spots aren't down the sun. The spots are in your eyes. And the flaws are in your eyes, in your mind. How dare people say God vindicated someone who's false? It just doesn't. I just can't understand. Well, I can't understand. They're blind. And it's not for them. It's not for them, then they're blind too. That's all I can say. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded, what? The minds of them that believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But it doesn't shine unto them because they're blinded. Who's done it? Satan's done it. What is he blinded? He's blinded their mind. Now listen, if you've got perfectly good eyes, but they're not connected to your brain, you can't see. You can't see. It happens to do, look, it's all about the mind. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light, remember in Genesis? God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, God has placed in an earthen vessel, your earthen vessel, an ability to be able to see light. The light, the pillar of fire that came down, the vindication. You have an ability by God to see those things and others don't. It's just not there. It's in your earthen vessel, it's not in theirs. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 to 7. We saw that the light is to shine or rule, but those who do not see this light have been blinded by the god of this evil age. Or as the verse says, the god of this world. So when the world gets between the moon and the sun, it hinders that reflection of the sun, and therefore the witness of the sun's influence upon the moon is diminished. Now I want you to further notice in verse 7 that this light is in earthen vessels, as we hear Jesus speak in Matthew 5. Now I think it's very interesting that the very light of the sun that we see by during the day can also blind us if we stare right into it. And that is a type of the light of the Son of God. It gives light for us to see and to understand the things of God. But if we are not ordained to light, you can stare right into it, and that same light will blind you to the things of God. As I said, go outside, just take your glasses off, or even put them on, and look right at the sun. Within a few minutes, all you're going to see is spots. Spots. What is it? It's in your mind. The spots are not here. You think they are, but they're not. It's in your mind. What have you done? By trying to examine that light too closely, you blinded yourself. Paul looked at the light. It blinded him. And God said, look, this is your condition. You're blind, Paul. You might know the gospel backward and forward, but you're blind because I'm here. I'm the one speaking to you. And I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. He said, oh, wow, I thought it was a man. It's a God that was using the vessel. And those people that try to examine, look, I'll tell you what happens when they leave the message. They say, well, you know, Brother Brown made a mistake here, made a mistake there. He said 7,000. He said India here instead of Africa and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, Brother Brown made mistakes. And what they do is then they go into and they begin, they go full face into that light. And they begin to look for everything they can find that's wrong in that light. And pretty soon all they're seeing is their own wrong. They're projecting their own evil thoughts. They're projecting their own unbelief. They're projecting their own doubts. And then they call Brother Brown false. No, they are false. The lights you see when you look at the sun, that's not from the sun. The sun didn't do that. You did it. By trying to look at what you shouldn't be looking at. When God's holy presence was on that mountain, not even an animal was permitted to go into that light. Only Moses. God made him a special way. He could do it. And he did it, and he came back to tell us about it. Now, I think it's very interesting that the very light of the sun that we see by during the day can also blind us if we stare right into it. And that is a type of the light of the Son of God. It gives light for us to see and understand the things of God. But if we are not ordained to light, you can stare right into it, and that same light will blind you to the things of God. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Brass had now noticed, Lot was down in Sodom, and the two angels went down into Sodom to preach the gospel, to call the righteous out from amongst the unbelieving. Is that right? A modern-day Billy Graham. They didn't do many miracles, but they smote them blind. Which preaching the word does smite the unbeliever blind. You hear that? Preaching the word does smite the unbeliever blind. From Paradox, it said, angel came down from heaven. Two of them went down and preached to Sodom. They didn't do no miracle. They blinded them one night. Preaching the gospel does blind the unbeliever. Notice, the preaching of the gospel does not blind the believer. It blinds the unbeliever. Those to them that are lost. It says it's hid to them that are lost. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be blind, or cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He's saying, look, you are light. You're a reflector. Let your light so shine. Don't hide it. Let it so shine. Now, we all believe that Alpha must repeat in Omega. Therefore, as we read the next 14 verses from verse 16 through 19, I want to substitute John's name from the Alpha to William Branham's name from the Omega by placing William Branham's name into those verses where John's name was spoken. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was not John, whose name was William Branham. You see? The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might be believed. He was not that light. And yet so many people try to say he is that light. So many people teach false doctrine. They say, well, Brother Branham is the Christ. No, he's not the Christ. No, he's not the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. But he's not the Son of Man. He's not the light. But he bore witness to the light. That picture there of William Branham bears witness to the light that was leading him. Now, if you look at the picture that's taken in Houston, you can see that he was not that light. But he was bearing witness to that light. That light, look, William Branham was not that light. It's very apparent if you see the lights above William Branham. Right? Okay, the Bible says his feet will be as pillars of fire. Well, then that's the foot of God above the head of William Branham. That shows the proper place. That he was in subjection to the light. But he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He, the true light, which is the true God, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Pentecostals. They didn't receive it. But as many as received him, to those who were of such a nature as to be able to receive him, to them gave he power, to them gave he exousia, the ability to make a right decision, and that decision was to become, or to come into existence. Now the word translated to become is the Greek word genomai. That's where we get our root word in the English genes from. And it means to come into being what you are already. To manifest or to grow into what you were already. As our brother Justin played the quote of the day where Brother Brown said, you are already sons of God. You know, don't be looking down the road for it to happen. It's already here. See? To manifest or to grow into what you were given to be. And in this case, John tells us to become or to grow into sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then John tells us, verse 13, which were born, notice, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now that is what sons of God means, born of God. That is why he says it was nothing that you nor your parents had to do with in the first place. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's all about what God has done. Then why do you put so much emphasis on family? I'm talking about your parents. Now, it's a good thing to, you know, the Bible says, you know, children honor your parents. But if you got parents that aren't believers, what's it to you? Your God, your father, your real father is a believer. He's the believer. You understand? I'm trying to get us to the place where we just get rid of all the vessels, all the thoughts of vessels. It's either God or it's not God. Because on the other side, it's either Holy Ghost or it's no Holy Ghost. You understand? You're not going to worry about it over there. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. Your parents had nothing to do with your birth. It was God. But of God. It's all about what God has done. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, his doxa, the doxa, as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. His opinion, his values, his judgments. Therefore, not only is the body called and ordained from God, but so is the very mindset of being a son of God. It is his doxa, his opinions, his values, his judgment. Now, let's read on verse 15, and again we'll insert the omega into the alpha. William Branham bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared it. So William Branham is declaring. Now listen, he said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here. Brother Brown said, I'm just laying the groundwork for that one to come. Who's that? The Holy Ghost. And your people say, oh, maybe it's this brother or this brother. Forget it. If it was the Holy Ghost in John's day that came down, it's the Holy Ghost that came down on this day. God doesn't change. He said, I am God, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I know that there are men who are fanatics who claim to believe the message but have made William Branham the Christ. And we showed you over the past few weeks that totally error. William Branham flat out denied being the Christ and even denied being the Son of Man. From Questions and Answers COD, he said, some say that Brother Branham is the Son of Man. I thought the pillar of fire was the Son of Man. Am I mistaken? Well, that's a good question. Very good. But I am not the Son of Man. That ought to end it right there. But a Son of Man. There's quite a difference. Jesus Christ was the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. Now, the reason that question probably was asked this person or been said, because people regard me as a seer, which I have not, I've got a question in here, just blasting me on that. See, but when I read these questions, you'll see why I answer the things the way I do. Until I am definitely led to do something, see, then I say what I must say. But that hour hasn't arrived, so I am not the anointed Son of Man. So get over it. Now, I show you this to help you to understand, because you can be so focused on the light that is there to bear witness and become blinded to the light that the smaller light is pointing to. In other words, people were so focused on the vessel, William Branham, the light, the lesser light, the Son of, a Son of Man, that they failed to recognize the Son of Man, which is God. God came down with a shout. Get your eyes on God. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Not on William Branham. He was a man. Not on Lee Vail. He was a man. Not on any minister. They're men. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Yeah. Look full in His wonderful face. What's His face? It's His Word. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So, I just want to help you. I want you to see that they even asked John the same things in the Alpha. And if they asked him, it would be more surprising if they did not do the same thing in the Omega. In fact, that's why Brother Vail, he was called to go to Brother Branham because Brother Branham was having a breakdown because the people in Canada were worshiping Brother Branham. They struck a medal saying he was the Christ. All right, that false doctrine began with, I won't get into who it was, but he was told to repent of it in the tabernacle, or they turn him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh. So he repented of it. After Brother Branham went off the scene, a brother went to get some cake from the brother, and he had a belt buckle on with the pillar of fire picture. He said, "Well, that's my Lord." And the brother pointed to a Hoffman head of Christ and said, "Well, what about him?" He said, "Well, that's his servant." These people are so polluted in their mind, so blind, so lost, because it's hid to them that are lost, that destructive spirit has taken over large parts of the DRC and other places in Africa. So Brother Vail had felt led by the Holy Ghost to come down and see Brother Branham. Sister Vail, she met him at the door. She said, "Brother Lee, I'm so glad you're here." Brother Branham didn't want to see anybody, but he wants to see you. So Brother Vail went into his bedroom, and there Brother Branham was rolling his head back and forth. He said, "Lee," he said, I failed God. His tears, said, just drenching his face. I failed God. Brother Vail said, "No, Brother Branham, you didn't fail God." He said, "In fact, if that didn't happen where they thought that you were," he said, "then I have to sit back and say, well, what's going on?" Because they did it with John. They came to John and said, "Are you the Christ?" He said, "No." "John, are you the Christ?" "No, I'm not." So why wouldn't they do it in this hour? It's got to repeat. We read in Luke 3:15, "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not." Again in John 3:28, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." Now, back to our reading from John, because we're going to find this again in John chapter 1, verse 19, as we pick up. "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'Well, what then? Art thou Elijah?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said unto him, 'Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?' And he said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah.' And they which were sent were the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither his that prophet?'" That's Malachi 4 prophet. "John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth among you, whom you know not, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latches I am not even worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man that is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I coming, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove," in other words, just very slowly, "and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Okay, now, it's interesting that Jesus is speaking of John, that he said he was a light, he was a witness, and if a witness, then he is not the main thing. But what he was a witness to is the main thing. Now, we know that the moon, which is a lesser light of Genesis 1, has no light of its own and represents the church and therefore can only reflect the light of the sun. But both lights, the greater light to rule by day and the lesser light to rule by, in times of darkness, are both set to rule. In 2 Peter 1 and 19, we saw that light which shines in dark places or have rule over the night until the day star takes and arises in your heart, you know, takes over rulership. Now, when the day star takes over, we can see the simple common sense that the lesser light will come under the rule of the greater light. Just as Jesus himself is in subjection to the Father, so too the church or bride subjects herself willing to the Son. In 1 Corinthians 15:27, for God hath put all things under the feet of his Son. But when God saith all things are put under the Son of God, it is manifest that God has accepted, which did put all things under the Son of God. And when all things shall be subdued under the Son of God, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto the Father that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That's why Jesus, the man, he's the light of the world, and yet the pillar of fire is above him. He's the light, but yet there's a greater light. 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. That means that we do not allow ourselves to give up. If you are a true son, you will get back up when you fall. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We're not sneaky, he says. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In the presence of God, and if you are not aware of his presence, you will not walk as you should be walking. And how can you walk in the light with him? It says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light. See, that pillar of fire, that picture, that pillar of fire, God was in that light. The light is not God, but it's God was in that light. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you have fellowship one with another. And how can you walk in the light if you're not even aware of his presence? In the presence of God, and if you're not aware of his presence, you will not walk as you should be walking. And how can you walk in the light with him if you're not aware that he's here? But if our gospel be hid, he says, it's hid to them that are lost. They're blinded. So the question is, what good will light do for a blind man? When you get older, your eyes seem to dim, to need more light to be able to read. I need reading glasses unless I'm in the sunlight. Well, then what about those that are older in the Lord? You need even more light than you had yesterday to see the same things that you once saw. And what is easier to get lost in, light or darkness? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Notice the mind is what is blinded. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, in other words, they're blind. Their minds are blind. And so it says that believe not. Alright? They don't believe in their mind, so they're blind to everything God shows as a vindication of his truth. You understand? So if they are in the message or even out of the message and cannot see what the message is, then they're blinded. And it is not God that blinds, but the God of this evil age, which is Satan. And how do they become blind? By staring at the wrong light. Just like the blind man in India. Remember the blind man in India? Brother Bram prayed for him. He was totally blind. His eyes had been all waxed over because he had stared at the light, thinking it was his God. And he became blinded by that. He focused on the wrong light. He became blinded to it. If he'd been focused on the light of the gospel, he would have been all right. If you drive into the light, it's going to be blinding. Because it will blind you. Just as those who begin to try to examine the sun, they go blind by doing so, so too will those who try to examine a vindicated word by cross-examining it to find flaws in it, they become blinded by the very light that they're cross-examining. And so when they're looking at the sunlight, let's say, and they start to see, you know, little spots in their eye, they begin to focus on those spots. Oh, that's darkness, and that's darkness, and that's darkness. I thought the sun was light. I see darkness. Pretty soon it's all darkness. That's exactly what they're doing. They're projecting their own darkness into the message, into the messenger. Notice they strain themselves to come through the message, not for life, but to find where God was wrong to vindicate William Branham. And that's exactly what the Pharisees did. Matthew 23:24. You blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And so the people strain at a gnat, a little thing where Brother Branham said 700, not 7,000. Or where he said, you know, I looked at the vision 1,000 times. I wrote it down. I looked at it 1,000 times. And I was blinded to it. And I didn't see that. I was supposed to go to India first. And then first into India. And so he let the brothers talk him into going to the wrong place. He said, I took an amoeba for it. Because of it. And these people will focus on those things and say, well, see, you know, William Branham, you know, he was a liar and this and that and that. Listen, you better watch yourself. You're calling yourself the liar. And that's true. You are the liar. You blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. They strain in error to find error in the message or with the messenger. And yet they will open wide and gulp down totally unscriptural teachings by men who have no vindication whatsoever. You blind guides, you which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You cannot prove the word because the word is already proven. It's been proven right by God. God himself vindicating it to be right. And when you cross-examine it, what you're telling God is that you don't trust his vindication. So you begin to stare into the light of God's word and you become blinded to it. That is what's happened to so many who claim to have once walked in the light of the message, but when they began to cross-examine the validity of the message, which God has already validated by vindicating it, that is where they went blind to the very word that they once walked in. Now, notice this lesser light, what John was, and what William Branham was, both came with the gospel light, but their sole purpose was to bear witness to the greater light, which was God's presence among us, and was represented by the pillar of fire, which is the Shekinah presence of God. And John saw it come down and go into Jesus, and William Branham saw it come down and bring with it a message to get the people of God ready for the adoption and change of the mind before it could get the change of the body. Now the gospel, or the good news, therefore, is bearing witness to the pillar of fire in our midst. Brother Branham saw a small lick of fire over Brother Vail, and he said it was the testimony of Jesus Christ. The pillar of fire was above Brother Branham's head, showing you who came down and who was vindicating his message. As he said in blind Bartimaeus, my ministry is to through the spirit of discernment, that it might manifest Jesus Christ's presence. So that whole... the whole discerning... thing. Okay, I don't want to call it a thing, but what Brother Branham is saying here was to manifest the presence of Jesus Christ. He said, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for him. I'm helpless. I can't say anything until he's here. He also said in his sermon, Oneness of Unity, he said, my ministry is to witness the evidence of Jesus Christ raised from the dead. I think he said it more definitively in a sermon from that time. He said, how many know that there's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ? There's two different words. Now is the appearing, the coming will soon be. He's appearing in the midst of us doing the works that he once did in his church. Now, you're a part of that church, and by grace you believe. I'm a member of that church. Now, I'm not a preacher. You know that. I'm not. I have not the education to do it. Sometimes I feel reluctant standing here by men of God who's called to that office. Now, there are apostles and prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. Not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are teachers, not all are evangelists, and I'm standing here. But my ministry is different. It's a different ministry from a pastor or a teacher. I'm not. And if I say the things wrong, brethren, forgive me. I don't mean it, but this is my ministry, see, to declare him that he's here. Can't get any more plain than that. But he also said in a sermon, way to have fellowship, said, but my ministry is this, it's just to declare that God is here. It don't matter whether I pray for you or not in this particular meeting now, it's your faith. It ain't touching me, it's touching him. See, you touch him, it'll happen. Because he's here. You can't touch him if he's not here. And he told us the reason he wanted us to see that Christ is here is for our assurance. From his sermon, Water from the Rocks, in my ministry is not to personally contact each one. It's to bring forth the full assurance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and to tell them, look and live. That's it to each and every one. To look at what? To look at the one who came down. So therefore, the lesser light, showing forth, points to the greater light, which is the presence of Christ. Therefore, we can see in this picture of William Branham with the pillar of fire above him, over here, and over here to my left, which is your right. And we know, he said, my ministry is to declare him that is here. And we know that declaration was his testimony and his witness of the actual presence of Christ among us. Now, Jesus said, he that follows me walks not in darkness. While we have the light, we should rejoice and walk in the light. So, are we walking in William Branham? Are we becoming PhDs about William Branham? Well, we know where he's born. We know all the stories about him. We know everything about his life. Or like Brother Branham said, people know more about David Crockett than they know about Jesus Christ. Or do we know about the one William Branham pointed us to? That light. Are we so blinded by the light of the veil that we can't see the God that's actually reflecting off the veil? In 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, furthermore, we find in John 3:19-21 that the light will bear witness to those who walk in it and have their source in it. But to those who are false witnesses, they will not walk in the light because they do not want their deeds to be exposed, showing them for what they are. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Remember, that light created the world. And that light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than, or instead of light, because their deeds were evil. They loved their own word over his word. They make doctrines over around their word rather than his word. They form denominations around their word rather than his word. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And why is that? Because the Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is the light. And John says that they will not come to the light because they want their life hidden from being exposed by the light. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they were wrought in God, that they had their source in God. Now, getting ready to close here. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, remember there's one Lord, one faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature. Now the word stature means maturity. Unto the measure of the maturity of what Christ was in his fullness. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying, the building up of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Notice the mind, the vanity is in the mind. Having the understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. Now, from the Church Age book, latest in Church Age, paragraph 49. He says, the Baptists have their creeds and dogmas based on the Word, and you can't shake them. They say the apostolic days of miracles are over, and there is no baptism with the Holy Ghost subsequent to believing. The Methodists say, well, based on the Word, there is no water baptism, sprinkling not baptism, and that sanctification is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. The Church of Christ majors in regenerational baptism, and in all too many cases they go down dry sinners and come up wet ones. Yet they claim their doctrine is word-based. Go right down the line and come to Pentecostals. Do they have the Word? Give them the Word, test and see. They will sell out the Word for a sensation just about every time. If you can produce a manifestation like oil and blood and tongues and other signs, whether in the Word or not, or whether properly interpreted from the Word, the majority will fall for it. But what has happened to the Word? The Word has been put aside. So God says, I am going against you all. I will spew you out of my mouth. This is the end. For 7 out of 7 ages, I've seen nothing but men esteeming their own word above mine. So at the end of the age, I'm spewing you out of my mouth. It is all over. I'm going to speak all right. Yes, I am here in the midst of the church. That's his presence. The Amen of God, faithful and true witness, will reveal himself, and it will be by my prophet. Oh, yes, that is. That is so. Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. There it is. He is sending a vindicated prophet. He is sending a prophet after almost 2,000 years. He is sending someone who is so far from organizational education and the world of religion that as John the Baptist and Elijah of old, he will hear only from God, and he will have thus saith the Lord and speak for God. He will be God's mouthpiece, and he, as it is declared in Malachi 4:6, will turn the hearts of the children back to the Father. He will bring back the elect of the last day, and they will hear a vindicated prophet give the exact truth as it was with Paul. He will restore the truth as they had it, and those elect with him in that day will be the ones who truly manifest the Lord, manifest the Son, see, and be his body, and be his voice, and perform his works. Hallelujah. Do you see it? John 12:37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. You know, I've been to these so-called faith healers, and I've watched how, you have to have a person sit on a chair, and so, you know, and they have a person put their legs over here. So when you put my arms are the same, right? Same length. But when I go this way, this one looks longer, right? So they put the person in the chair this way, and then they pull on this hand here, but actually what they're doing is they're pulling them straight. And now they say, see, did you see it? The leg grew 2 inches. It grew 2 inches. It's hogwash. It's false. It's an illusion of the eye. And yet, oh, they did a great miracle from God. And yet, a child, they had no eyeballs. And God could create eyeballs in that child. And they say, well, you know what? He's wrong. There's a Trinity. He's wrong about that. And, you know, so many things. Well, who vindicated you? Now, come on. Well, you know, Brother Bram, when he gets up there, you know, I mean, he's 100% when it comes to thus saith the Lord. He's just right on the dot every time, never once misses. But it's theology. You know, you just don't understand the Bible. Now, you think God would vindicate a man and then the man be in error? People are stupid. You know, say, well, don't use that word. I'm going to use it again. They're stupid. They're ignorant. They're ignoramuses. That's the word we used back in the 70s. They're ignoramuses. Totally self-centered. Totally into self. Totally into their own thinking. They are the God of their own mind. And they're lost because it's hid to them that are lost. In closing, John 9:39, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. You say you see, you say you understand, you say, you know, Brother Brown was wrong, we understand. No, that shows that you're wrong, that your sin remains, and that you're willfully ignorant because you're not vindicated, God vindicated the man. What is it? You've either got people, like Brother Brown always said, you know, God's always down the middle of the road, and people on the right side, they move to the center, and the devil gets behind them, gives them push over the other side. They go from Trinitarianism, they come to the middle of the road, and then the devil gives them a push, and they go all the way into oneness. That's what they do. Or they see a vindicated prophet, they see the miracles of God, and they see, hey, God is with that man. Now they say, God is that man. You see how the devil gives them a push? They're blinded by the lesser light. as far as we've heard. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're thankful for you having ordained a man before the foundations of the world to come in this hour that could die to himself so much that all we could see is Christ in him. Thank you, Father, that that vessel knew how to put that vessel out of the picture. And may we, as your vessels, as Jesus said, we are the light of the world, but may we die to who we are, what we are, that others might only see Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. That's a Numbers chapter 6, verse 22.
The Lord.